All right, now that we just had Simchas Torah, we're going to start the book of Bereishis all over. And this year we're going to be learning the Chumash with the commentary of the Or HaChaim, Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Rabbi Chaim Ibn Attar, he lived a lot of his life in Morocco, eventually made his way to Israel. I think he was on his way to Syria, actually. But he ended up in Israel and he died there a year after he got there. So, but he was a Kabbalist, so in addition to being a tremendous Talmid Chacham, of course. So there's Kabbalah interspersed between this. Somebody came over to me and says, you know, there's a lot of Kabbalah in the Or HaChaim. How are you going to navigate that? I said, anything I don't understand, I'm not going to teach. It's very simple. Okay, that's the way we're going to do it. Now, as we saw last year with the Iksav HaKabbalah, I mean, the Iksav HaKabbalah had probably written like four times as much on the book on Parshas Bereishis than the Or HaChaim did. But of course, in this class, we're always limited to the hour that we spend. So I had to skip a lot, but I did want to give you, you're more than welcome to, of course, follow it in Makros Gedolos, but if it's a little bigger, a little easier to follow. So I did want to give you a little bit on Bereishis itself, like on the concept of creation. So that's what the first page is. And then after that, we're going to skip to Cain and Hevel, okay, because that stuff is fascinating. I would have loved to have done some of the stuff in Gan Eden with the snake and all that, but... What can we do? We don't have unlimited amount of time. Okay, so let's begin. Now, one of the key features of the way the Or HaChaim operates, in general, is that what he does, instead of just, you know how Rashi operates. Rashi gives you a Dibra Maschil, right? It's quotes from the Pasuk, and then Rashi just makes a comment. But Rashi rarely asks a question. That's why there's a book called What's Bothering Rashi, okay? Because you gotta kind of have to figure out Rashi's question. The Or HaChaim, and the Abravanel operates it very similarly. There are others as well who do this, who, when they begin their comment, they'll throw out a whole bunch of questions. And then over the course of the comment, they'll just address each question. Abravanel does that very methodically, because he'll say, all right, he'll talk a lot, and he'll say, okay, I just finished answering question one. And then I'll talk a lot and say, okay, that's question two. Okay, the Or HaChaim doesn't do that in that same kind of methodology, but over the course of talking, whatever questions he raised, he addresses. Okay, so the first question which he has is really on the very first pasuk. So if you're in the Chumash, which we have, Bereishis bara Elohim, Eis HaShemayim ve'Eis HaAretz. So now it's important not... So actually, I think we discussed this last year. Article's translation is pretty good here. In the beginning of God's creating the heavens and the earth. Okay? However... What? In the beginning of God's creating... In other words, Bereishis bara Elohim, Eis HaShemayim, Eis HaAretz. That's Article's translation. Okay? As opposed to Bereishis bara Elohim. In the beginning, God created Eis HaShemayim, Eis HaAretz. But guess what the Or HaChaim does? He says, no, that actually... If you start off, you say, Bereishis, there was something called Reishis. What is Reishis? That was the time when God created. What did God create? It's the Shemayim Yis Haaretz. Okay, so now I'm going to give you a hint. I think everybody probably knows this. Okay, we're familiar with the idea that Kabed Es Avicha V'Esimecha. Okay, so what do the S's there do? Remember, what are they supposed to do? What does Rabbi Akiva teach? No, there's more. Lerabos. S is Lerabos. It includes something. You're supposed to honor your father and your mother, and S is the rabbos, achicha gadol, right? Your older siblings. Okay, so in other words, S is it expands what the commandment is. Okay, so there isn't a commandment here, obviously, but what the Or HaChaim is going to show us is how the S or the Ace, as it were, expands. Okay, so let's take a look at what he says. Yesh daktik v'kasuv. Omro Eis HaShemayim Eis HaAretz. Ma ba l'rabos v'beiz Eisin Elu. All you have to say is Bereishis bara Elohim Shemayim Haaretz. What do you mean? Eis HaShemayim v'Eis HaAretz. Achei kavonas ha'kasuf yal ze ha'derech. V'kodem ha'iru shachar ha'mutzag etzleinu m'gdu ha'sabore ma'gad l'ma'asav. Remember what Rashi says? Rashi says, why does the Torah begin here and not at Chodesh HaSelechem? Koyach Ma'asav Yigidlam, right? He wanted to show God's power and how he chose Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So he says, yeah, of course, that's there. Ki Adon Baruch Hu Yuchal Daber Dibur Bilti Musag B'Nivraim K'om Ramzal B'Perish HaKasuv V'Yidaber Elokim is called Rima Eila. Okay, that God could do everything all in one instant, in a, you know, in nothing. What does it need? That what happens at the time of the Aseres Dibros, that's Shmos Chaf, people heard what God said, but it's things that the mouth couldn't speak. That somehow all the Aseres Dibros were spoken in one instant, in one whatever. Okay, one breath. Wait, God needs a breath in one instant. We can't understand that.
So,
yeah, call Aseres Hadibros b'dibur echad, v'lo karam dibur l'chaveiro. That's a lot. That's even cooler than Zachar v'Shamar, right? Okay, so
versus here, it's the opposite.
No. He's saying. Okay, we're gonna see. Okay. I want to explain. Uvazeh. Now that I've given you that as a background, Navola Beer. Let's understand the explanation. V'hu ki Adon Yisaleh Shmo Kol Ma Shebar Ba'Olam Shehem Amikoros. Everything that's in the world, that's in the universe, okay? It's in the universe. God created B'dibur Echad. Okay, what does that sound like? We're in Boynton Beach, BB, right? What's BB? Big Bang. That's what it sounds like. Okay, now I don't remember when the Or HaChaim lived. But it's probably
like
before that.
Is this what you're saying?
I'm saying that he's saying that everything was created in an instant. So what's the whole first chapter of Bereishis? He's going to see. V'zeu omro Bereishis bara Elokim es haShemayim ve'es haAretz digdeg lomar shnei esin. That when it says that in Bereishis God created, what did God create? Es haShemayim ve'es haAretz. The two esin are coming to include Kol hanimsa ba'olam, everything that exists in the universe. V'liyosh and Ibrahim heim, rabim. Okay, and because the things that were created are many, ki milvada asar dvarim hanikarim, v'nirin le'en kol, k'moshim na'um chazal, the Gemara and Chagiga talks about 10 things that are clear to everybody. V'zel shonam, asara dvarim nivru biyom rishon, shemayim, v'aretz, or, choshech, tohu, v'vohu, Mayim, Ruach, you look through the creation of the first day, you see a whole bunch of things. V'ha'aretz ha'isa, sohu, vohu, choshech, apanei tahom, Ruach Elokim, rachefes apanei mayim. When you read through day two, day three, day one introduces us to Or and Choshech, right? Where do we first see Mayim? In day two, when the Rakia... No, I'm saying Mayim is mentioned here, water is here, but then it's mentioned in day two when you have the Rakia, right? The Rakia is Vayim Avdil, then Mayim Lamayim. Okay, what does that mean? Well, obviously there was water already. So what the Gemara Chagiga is telling us is that all these things were actually created on day one. So then, what is then? What do we have? What do you mean? Everything's created on day one. So then, what's day one, day two, day three? Milvad Elu Yesh Od Brios Acherim Ne'alamim V'Nivlaim B'Chol Chosei Sodos. He says, and aside from these, there are other things which are created, which are lost. So here's where he's getting into the Kabbalistic side, things which we can't see, things which you don't understand. Yesh Ma'im Nikarim Be'Emtzos HaHatacha Yesh Ma'im Be'Emtzos HaHarkava. I don't understand these concepts. These are Kabbalistic ideas. Yesh Ma'im Bishtanos HaZmanim. Some things are beyond time. Yesh b'mekoach ha'yoli v'rabim l'spor. We can't even count these things. Okay, asher l'zek l'am ha'borei b'beis pratim gedolim v'atzumim b'shamayim v'aretz. Some of them are included in shamayim and aretz. What is shamayim? When you look up, what are we seeing? When we look up, we're seeing shamayim? We're seeing rakia.
Yeah.
Okay, shamayim is beyond. Shamayim is, you know... Shemayim is space and time. We don't know what Shemayim is. So,
perhaps on the first day when he created it all at once, there was a combination of Rakia and Shemayim.
Maybe, but you'll see. He's going to explain, okay? Because he has. Once we're going to get to the explanation, it's all going to be very clear. And so everything else that we're talking about are things which are included in the words ace. Elokim bara hakol yisaleshimo. And in saying that God created everything, this is in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Bereshis Mamaru, that what is Bereshis? That's a statement. Remember, that's a mission in Avos, that there were 10 statements with which the world was created. Harishon Shebekulan Bo Nivra Hakol. The first of all those statements, everything was created. El Shelo Haya Mesudar. That's the key. It wasn't put into an orderly fashion yet. So that's what I say. It sounds like Big Bang. And then it needed to be put into order. Yeah.
The way I was taught as a kid was that Hashem created everything, then he dismantled the door and then he turned to him.
And one was Masader. Okay. All right, so this is where you get it from, okay? Shaloy Masudav, Hayakola Brios, Benimsa. Everything was there. Avachasru Haseder. Okay, but there was no order. Mm-hmm. Chaos. Yeah. Right? I mean, am I so far fetched at saying this? He's essentially describing what science today calls Big Bang. V'sidron HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dvar Yom B'Yomo, and then God put everything in order. V'yom Rishon Hechin V'hivdila Or Min HaChoshech. Okay, then he made the distinction between the light and dark. V'kana HaChoshech Mikomo V'Or Mikomo. Darkness found its place, and light found its place. Yeah.
And that's why, that's the answer they give for the people who argue you can't have plant life in day three.
Correct. Without a sun. Correct. Right. Says it was all there. But Aiden Nam on the Perushenu, what's the proof? Zemasham Rakasuv Kivosh Shavas Mikol Malachto Asher Bara Elohim Lasos. Right, we're familiar with that. It's from Vayechulu, that on day 7 God rested from all his malacha, Asher Bara Elohim Lasos, that God had created to do She'ein Mashma Ustachto Ubamesh Birashnu Yavo Kamin Chomer Kivosh Shavas Mikol Malachto Asher Bara B'yom HaBriya. It's referring to what did God stop from his malacha that he had created on the day of the creation, on the first day. Lasos perish l'takein b'sheshes yamim. And God put order to the world over the course of the, what we call, sheshes yamim b'reshes. Ki sheshes yamim asa Hashem, b'gomer. Perish tikein. Asa, made, means he fixed it up, put it into order. Ki HaBriya b'yom rishim, ma'amarecha n'bres. El Hashaya kol chaser tikun. It wasn't set up properly. L'ma'a davar domel, mishuratzal of nos paltarin, v'kodim mechin avonim, v'etzim, v'ofor, v'tzorchi abinyon, v'mushlam, v'achach kibonei abayis. It's like somebody who wants to build a palace, and so before he actually builds and makes it into a structure which has design and everything like that, gathers all the raw materials, puts it all there, and then it's time to build. Kach bor baruchu, baruch kol tzorchi olam b'dibur echad v'echinu, and then he put everything into order. Okay? So now you can ask the obvious question, which he's about to address. And I skipped a little bit. That's what the three dots means. Okay?
Right.
If God could do everything, so why do you need to have chaos? Just make it all, say, boom, let there be a perfect world. Let there be a perfect world. And it could be. That's a statement in Avos. What does the mission in Avos say? Couldn't God have created the entire world in one statement? Why does the mission in Avos tell us that? In 10 statements, God created the world. I don't remember what the exact line is. But in other words, the whole point is to counter those who don't believe that God could do it all in one. Okay? Because God is saying, look, are you a mammon or are you not a mammon? Do you believe or do you not believe? And he's giving that out to the Rishayim, Velitain Schar Tov LaTzadikim, and to give merit to the righteous who say, yeah, what the Torah says is true.
It's the option not to believe.
So yeah, basically. Yep. Yeah. The fact that the Mishnah there says that God created Nivra Ha'olam in 10 statements. Right?
Yeah.
Right? That's what Bria means. Kisov kol sov, kol zman shayachasir atikun ki ilu ein kan Bria. says, as long as there wasn't order, complete order, it's as if Bria, full creation, wasn't there. So he's saying, yes, there wasn't order at the outset, but everything was there. It's just a question of putting it all together. If the earth wasn't revealed, then those who were created doesn't have a place. So where are they? They're somewhere in some stratosphere, and then when it's time, then God's going to put them there. Right? I mean, and there's a great proof, by the way. There's a great proof, just as regards to the human beings. What does it say? At one point it talks about how the Adam was placed in the garden. I think it's in Eden.
Yeah, I think.
Hashem Elokim es ha'adam vayanichehu b'gan Eden lo'avdol Hashem. What do you mean vayanichehu? Didn't he make him in Gan Eden? The answer is apparently not. Okay, and that's the idea that he placed him in Gan Eden. Okay, Shem Ruon Kamo Orba Choshech Im Kain Kol Shalun Nitzkan Kiilu Lo Nivra Lizet Yaches Gam Kain. So in other words, as long as something is not where it belongs, it's as if it hasn't been created yet. Okay, so I wanted to open your eyes to that. He talks. I mean, I'll give you a little bit more, but I don't want to get stuck in it. So you get a sense of just a concept of creation. Remember that the idea of how we look at creation in general is debated amongst great authorities. The Rambam famously said that it's not meant to be taken literally. It's, you know, it's much deeper than that, and don't think it was, you know, six actual days, 24-hour period. I mean, you know, there's a lot to be gleaned from how all this is explained by the commentaries. But if you're looking for a scientific answer, because you accept science as being part of the world and something which is, you know, indisputable according to some, well, it seems to me that he's essentially describing, as I said before, the idea of the Big Bang, and saying that it's absolutely compatible with the way Bereshis is.
According to this, I know it's very out there. When Adam was created in first, second, or whatever you want to say, and then during the next whatever, after he sorted everything out, that's when Adam was placed there. Or was Adam created on the seventh day? According to this.
No, according to this, he was created, but he wasn't mesudar. He wasn't put in order yet. And the perfect example is that when Adam is placed in the place, God has to breathe life into him. He can't live in a stratosphere. He can't live not on this earth.
Well, how it's like you go into space and you're frozen there and then...
Yeah.
Okay, time to go.
Yeah, yeah. You know, imagine... Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that's how I took this. Okay, so just to open your eyes, of course, you know, everybody has an Aruch Chaim available. You can read through all of it. It's a ton. He's a ton to say. So, but that I thought was a refreshing perspective, being that we live in the 21st century and we have to contend with you know, these kinds of ideas and need to be able to hold our own. You can't just say, oh no, science is stupid and. You know, and it's anti-Torah. The answer is no, it's not. And there are books that have been written by very, very wise and, you know, contemporary from Orthodox rabbis who try to deal with this kind of stuff. And clearly, in his own way, he was dealing with it as well, and gave us that message. Okay, let's move on. So, as I said before, we're going to be skipping everything that takes place in the garden. Much to my chagrin, but we just don't have the time. So we're going to move now in the Chumash to page 18 and 20. So after the Adam and Chav are thrown out of the Gan Eden, the garden, so they figure out how to conceive a child, and they do. The first child is Cain, a tailor is Cain. And when Chava gives birth, she says, Kanisi Yishas Hashem, that I've acquired a person with God. Vatosef Leles Asachiv, as Havel, she goes ahead and and she gives birth to his brother, to Hevel, and a number of the commentary Midrash points out that there's one S with Cain shows that he had one twin, And the two S's with Hevel, two twins. Okay, we'll leave that for what it is. By he Hevel roitzon v'kaino yoved adama. So Hevel is a shepherd, and Cain was a one who works the ground. After some time, Cain brings fruit of the earth as an offering to God, or as a gift, however you define mincha. And Hevel brought from his from the firstborns of his sheep and from their fat. And God was inclined towards Hevel's a gift, and not inclined to Cain's. And Cain gets angry and his face falls. God says, "Why are you angry? Why did your face fall? If you do good, you'll lift up. And if you're not so good, this is all, you know, again, volumes have been written about these words. It is trying to bring you down, but you can rule over it. You can overcome whatever it is that is making you feel this way, that's making you do whatever you do. But Yomer Kain El Hevel Achiv, Kain says to Hevel his brother, what does Kain say to Hevel his brother?
Doesn't say.
Unless, again, the commentaries have fielded with this. Does Kain say all that? Does Kain like tell, you know, about his conversation with God? Or does Kain say, one commentary says, Yomer Kain, quote, El Hevel Achiv. Hey, Hevel Achiv. Something like that effect, which made Hevel come, put his guard down. And so when they were in the field, Cain gets up to Hevel's brother, and he kills him. Okay? Hashem says to Cain, where is Hevel, your brother? Okay? Isn't Hevel laying there dead? What do you mean? Okay? And he says, lo yadati, I don't know. Hashem rachi anochi, am I my brother's keeper? But Yomer Me'asisa, Hashem says, what have you done? Kol Me'achicha, the voice of your brother's bloods. So Akim Elai Mino Adama, they're calling out to me from the earth. Okay? There are a lot of questions here. What happened? What happened with Cain? How did he kill Hevel? What happened to Hevel? What do you mean, God? What is God saying? Kol Me'achicha, so Akim Elai Mino Adama. What does Mino Adama mean? Literally, what does Mino Adama mean?
From the ground.
From the ground. So what, did Cain, like, he killed him and then he buried him? You know, did he do that?
He's lying on the ground. Man.
What about, I can't remember who, the base of Mikdash, the blood kept bubbling up.
What, Zechariah? Yeah, Zechariah's blood. Okay, so that, right. Is that what's going on? Okay, let's take a look.
There's a Midrash about him seeing two birds. One kills the other, I think, and winds up burying the bird.
Okay, I'm not familiar. I'm not familiar with that. So,
and that's where he uses his...
Right, so right. I mean, the idea of, in general, the idea of Misa, the idea of death, and how they would know what it is. I mean, look, it looks like Hevel brought offerings. Okay, it says Hevi Gamhu Mi Bicharos Tano Michabehen. I don't know what that means because it doesn't tell us that he actually slaughtered them. Okay, but how would they have any concept of death if these are the first people? Nobody's ever died before.
Yeah.
I mean, even in the garden, when the snake is trying to convince Chava to eat from the tree, she says, no, when we touch it, we're going to die. I mean, how does she even have any idea what that means?
That's it.
Okay, up until that point in time, they were supposed to be immortal. Okay, so anyway. Vayomer Kain el Hevel Achiv. Perush, Amar lo, Davar Achva. Letzatcha kadam elav sibatz asina. So he said something which is of a brotherly kind of nature, like a loving nature. Okay, Vayomer Kain el Hevel Achiv. Calling him brother, and that puts Hevel's guard down. Sibas hasina machmas kina. Yargish Hevel meemtzos adavar shiyisana'uhu v'yaskili shamir menu. Because there was a jealousy, Hevel's going to have his guard up and he'll be careful to, you know, to watch himself. Ashal kena maralav ha'achva ki lo nolad belibo sina machmas adavar litzad kina. So he did not have hatred on account of the jealousy. B'to'o, but he misled Hevel. So that you know, he would not make it clear to Hevel really what his intent was. hakasuv acharzeh. Okay, so we're going to see what this means. V'lachein ischakein mafsik psukim she'asa piska ve'ena piska b'pasuk zeh in pasuk shel acharav. So the one who broke down the pasuk was very smart, okay, in making it the way that it is. So what does that mean? Okay, so he's going to explain. Okay, so the part I put in bold is essentially these questions. Why is the Torah telling us that they're in the field? Who cares? If Cain kills Hevel, that's the result that we need. Who cares if they're in the Sadeh? It says that Cain got up and he killed Hevel. What are we reading that for? Just say, Cain killed Hevel. Old lo yitzarach lamar achiv. What is it? Right? Like, we know who these characters are. We know they're brothers. Od sarach ladas amro e hevel ma kavana sabore b'shele zo. Why is God asking where is hevel? I mean, if this happens immediately, right, it's right there. Od mi pesaki kain she yashiv li odei va'ed lo yadati. What kind of chutzpah? It's like, Hevel's right here. Where's Hevel, your brother? Really? Right, and who knows about God's watching over in the same way that the first creations were, right? Mm-hmm. Remember, Adam is hiding in the garden. God says, Adam, where are you? Oh, no, I was hiding. Run. Adam, really? You can't hide. What is this? So Cain, like, you know, he knows the story. Yeah, we used to live in a garden, okay? You know, and we did something wrong, and God threw us out. And, you know, if you ever hear him, just, you know that he's watching. Okay. I mean, really? That dumb? Od, ma yarech loshon lomar hashomer. Why does Cain say hashomer? Am I my brother's keeper? Od omro, kol me achicha tzorkim alayin adamo. The sound of your brother's voice are crawling out to me. Min adama, lama yusrach lama min adama. My atzelka. What's the cry? What does it mean from the earth? Oh, lama kilel adama. Im hu arotzeach alav tavo klala. Right. What does the God say? Ata or ata min adama asher batzas pi ala kaches es meachichem yadecha. You are cursed from the earth that opened up its mouth to take your brother's blood. Okay? You're not going to be able to work the land anymore. Remember, why is Adam cursed from the land? Because the land was
part of the
cursed in Gan Eden. Remember?
The
pre-eats. Okay? You ate from the tree that I told you not to eat from. Arura ha'adama ba'avurecha. Cain is cursed from the Adama that was cursed. Okay? So, those are the questions. You know, and the question about the Dam, what is it? The blood is being licked up, lapped up by the earth. I mean, all the stuff that God's saying really seems to have no, doesn't make any sense. Achain, Hakavani, so we're on the top of page 3 now. Achein Hakavani Hilios, ki Cain is kane behevel b'choshvo ki usiba lashbola. So Cain was jealous of Hevel when he thought that Hevel was the reason for his own fall, his own downfall. Ki be'emtso so hukar ofelo, because through, I guess, his medium, I mean, whatever it was that Hevel did, Cain's own, in comparison, was nothing. B'chashav ki k'shlo yeh Hevel b'mtsius, right, so Cain thought, hey, if Hevel is the problem, if Hevel is what's getting in the way of my being the chosen one, let me just get rid of Hevel. And since God will have nobody else to choose, obviously, you know. Exactly. What?
Yeah.
Right. Well, yes. So there's a great midrash about that. Yeah, there's a great midrash about that where you know, each of the enemies of the Jewish people talk about how the previous guy was a fool because Cain killed Hevel when his parents could still procreate. So Esav says, "I'm gonna kill Yaakov when my father dies. They can't have another one." And Paro says, "You're gonna kill Yaakov when it." But Yaakov has a bunch of kids, so Paro says, "I'm going to kill the kids." Okay, and then Haman says, I'm not going to, right? That didn't really work. Haman says, I'm going to kill everybody, right? So they all failed. So, you know, but Cain is the first fool, right? That's a really wonderful midrash. Anyway, so he says, Ki ain od acher l'vchorbo. Nobody else to choose, right? So just be kind. V'chashav l'hargo. So he thought to kill him. V'chashav tal tzachanaso v'asho b'figubo ki nitztavel r'sicha. She said, but maybe that's not such a good idea because I can't really actively kill him. We were told you're not supposed to kill. I don't know whether they were told not to kill, but let's assume that they were told that. So he says, I'm going to kill him without actually killing him.
Excellent.
Okay? Cain was an Ish Adama. What is an Ish Adama? So I heard, I'll just give you a very funny line. There's a comedian whose name is John Mulaney. He said, you know, now that I'm an adult, I have to tell you, some things that I learned as a child are very disappointing. As a child, I thought that quicksand was going to be a much bigger problem in my life. You know what I mean? Like, you see The Princess Bride, you see every Warner Brothers cartoon, there's always quicksand, right? So he's like, I never come across with. But he says that, so maybe it's not quicksand, but Cain was a guy who was in Ish Adama. He knew the land. He knew where there's a swamp. He knew where there's a quagmire. He knew where there's a quicksand, whatever it is. He knew where the, you know, where there's a sinkhole. He aretz yesh la ivarim kevri adam inayim yadayim reglayim. The land has it branches off in all kinds of directions. Ulamakirba. So I'm at the end of the fifth line. Makirba yedam komos. He's going to know those places. Okay, I remember one of the first Sherlock Holmes books that I read was The Hound of the Baskervilles. And the story basically is about this guy who hides this really large hound in a swamp. And he knows how to get around there. But if you don't go in the right trail in the swamp, you will sink in the what they call the Grimpenmire, I think it's called. Okay? So, but this guy, he knows how to navigate. If you know how to navigate it, you're not going to have a problem. Umeata matza yoetz ro l'hargo be'armo mebli shalach yadaba. So Cain figured out, how am I going to kill Hevel in the Sadeh where I know where there is a problem, where you can't stand?
Maybe he called him and he fell in or something.
They're going on in the field, on the earth somewhere. He found the perfect spot for his plot. And because he said, hey, Hevel, Achi, brother, let's go, come on. Hevel trusted him. Uvazek Kamalov, and then that's how he got on top of him. Uvakimazo, Shakam, Pirish Amaralov, Bizargo. So Hevel starts to fall. Remember the scene in The Lion King? I'm sorry, I'm making all these movie references. He says, Give me your hand, and he throws him. So he basically says, oh, you're sunk? No problem. Let me just step on you. Boom, sink further. Wow. That's it. Now he can't breathe anymore, and he's in the Adama. Okay? And his body's gone. Sorry, I went back a line. Shekamber Amar Alav Bezehargo. Bnei Amida Ena Horeges. Standing, he didn't kill him. Elishin is chagging Lamor Alav Makom Shei Nivla Badama. So he was wise enough to stand him in a place where he's going to be swallowed up by the ground. So he basically buried him alive.
And that's why it says, I don't know where he is.
Correct. Vezoi Misaso, and that's how he died. The Adama Hia Horeges, and the land is what killed him. The pasuk doesn't say how he killed him. It doesn't say took a sword, a rock, a knife. But it's revealed very clearly in the pasuk afterwards. Amar Asher Patsasa, that the fact that the earth opened up and it swallowed heaven. The Hashem bochein libos shalo. So Hashem, who knows what's in the heart, it's like he knows that Cain was not exactly. I don't know what happened. So he says to him, "Ehevel achicha leros hayoda al pisho veheishiv lo yadat." He says, "Will you admit that you were a scoundrel here, Cain?" Oh, I don't know. V'im tomar hayolach, and if you want to say hayolach laseh slave alav zamar shomerachi. So God, if you want to say God's saying, "Hey, you should have been watching over," he says, "But it's my job to watch over v'chi shomer asisani alav. Did you make me my brother's wife? I have to watch over him." He did not admit about this terrible thing which he had done. Shechashav, because he thought Hashem lo yanish al asiba lo yashkechba. He thought that Hashem wouldn't punish because he had a very good excuse. I didn't step into the Grimpenmire. I didn't sink into the ground. Have a, you know, it's his own problem.
It's his fault. I didn't do anything.
Would there be a different punishment if he did admit it?
I don't know. You know, we only have the story as it happened. But the point is that Cain's trying to fool God. God's not such a fool. Okay? Beshivo Hashem, Ma'asisa, Hodio, Kimasa Varayim, Heim Sibal Adama, Livloa Hevel. Says, what did you do? No, it is your fault that the ground swallowed him up. V'omro, Kol Demei Achicha Tzokim Alayim Min Adama. Hevel's blood's crying out for me from the ground. Beirush, Ki Hevel, Choshev Badato, Ki Adama Ragaso. B'kibel lifnei Hashem imena. So Hevel thought, "Oh, what have I done? I fell into the ground. I've been swallowed up. Oh my goodness, the Adama killed me." But God says, "Come on, Cain. I know the score, and you know the truth. Stop trying to pretend like you don't know." Zekila Hashem oso, and that's why God cursed him. Ki hu hasiba, because he's the one. And so he also cursed the ground that it shouldn't do this kind of thing anymore. Yeah, Jerry.
Under these circumstances, in the way the killing was done, the blood part of it seems to be a metaphor.
Yeah, of course, right. Okay. Yeah. Okay, in other words, I mean, as we find later on in next week's Parsha, when they're given the opportunity to eat animals, and God says shofech dam adam badam damo yishafech, that he defines dam as being the life. Okay, when blood comes out, that's the life leaving. So it means that Hevel's. We talk that way also.
This killing was established without any spilling of blood.
Yeah, literally correct. Right. Okay. Okay. So now skip to the. Skip to the fourth to last line, middle. After Shlozen is called Mamram Zal, Zel Shonon Rabbanon Amru Be'Evan Hargo Adkan. So when the rabbis say that he killed him with a stone, we didn't even see us Harigazo. Yes, a kol gufo p'tzayim p'tzayim. V'hu Amro Demei Lashon Rabim, but lo Aisa Misasob Makom Mimakom Echad Kederach Nishchatim. So he says that the rabbis say that he had to hit him with a rock in a whole bunch of places in order to have a bunch of different wounds that are where the blood is coming out from. Okay, so we got the general gist of the way that he's explaining, and he's covering, first of all of his questions, explaining all the words which are there, and giving us I hope for all of us it's a fantastically new vision, but which also, you know, answers for the very simple question, Vayakam Kayin El Hevel Achiv Vayahargehu, without giving us an actual act of violence. And there we go. Vayahargehu means that he caused him to be killed in that way.
Interesting.
Okay, now, so I just found that to be interesting, but it's really the next one, which is the take home lesson from this from all this. Okay, so that's just on that story. Again, there's a lot more. No way to get through it all. So I gave you what I thought was really compelling. Okay, after all of this, so we see Cain's chain, his family tree, goes through Chamishi and Shishi all the way up to Parakei, and then we are told the following: Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam. What?
There are three cameras.
Three?
Cameras. Cameras? Yeah, my motto. There's book one.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's book two. And this is book three.
Cain and Hevel, or is that Sefer Toldos Adam? Okay, so we're moving on to the next direction of a story here. Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam. This is the book of the generations of man. Biyom Bara Elohim Adam Bidmus Elohim Aso. So, on the day that God created man, in the image of God, he created him. Bidmus Elohim Aso. Aso
is not...
Made. You cannot create. Okay? Made. Okay? Listen carefully. Zachar Nukeva Baraam. Male and female, he created them. By Varach Osam, God blessed them. By Yikras Shemam Adam, Biyomi Baram, and he called their name Adam on the day that he created them. By Achi Adam, now we're switching from Adam, human, to Vayachi Adam, the man. Shloshim Ashana, 130. By Yolib Busok Kitzalmo,
and he had a child, and he gave birth, whatever, he gave birth, meaning his wife gave birth, in his image. Tumus means the way that he looked, and Kitzalmo in his image, however we define that, by Krashmo Shase, and then that child's name was Shase. Adam lived for another 800 years and had children, and then we get the whole line from Adam all the way until Noah. Okay, so now this idea of Dumus in Tselem is fascinating. Let's take a look. Tzarech L'das, so we're back on the middle, towards the bottom, page 3. Tzarech L'das Kavanas Omro Zeh Sefer, Ma Sipur Alas. What's this Sefer? What's this book? What's this story? Od Omro B'yom Barab. All this, you know, these few psukim are recounting essentially what we've already seen twice. We saw it in the end of Perek Aleph in one form. We saw it in Perek Beis in Gan Eden when Adam and Chav are created in the way in which they are. And now you explain it again. So what's going on here? Shenira ki biyom bara haya bidmus v'lo achrichen. It seems to imply that on the day that God created, they were bidmus Elohim, but not afterwards. Od, another question. We've already seen this, so why are you telling us again? Od, another thing. Od, zachar nukiva. You're telling us again, male and female. Like, we know this already. On the day that they're created, you already just said, zachar nukiva baram, biyomi baram. Thank you. On the day that they're created, you created them on the day that you created them. Okay, thank you. Achen kavanas aksuv nishmor derech Hashem. Okay, so what the Pesukim are trying to do for us is show us how God operates, because all of God's ways last forever. So when God puts together the Shnei Olam, what's the Shnei Olam? I think it's the years of the universe, which are put in order for the many generations. There are sibos niglos vinistaros, revealed and secret reasons for things. Vutzach lehazker misas Adam, and he needs to tell us about the death of Adam. V'yotze chalatzav, and his those who his descendants. Higdim, what? Correct. Higdim lehasir tanas toin kinegdo yisbarach echimas yigia kapav. He has to tell us at the very outset that people die, because people might say, what do you mean? Hold on a second. These are your creations. How on earth could you put into the order of the world that your creations are going to die? Kaviyachol. Like, imagine. Yesh yotzer asher yishbor ki love. Is there an artist or a fashioner who's going to break the things which he creates? Yesh boneh. So ser ben yonav. Is there a builder who knocks down his own buildings? Yeah, I mean, obviously there's circumstances, but only to build a better build, right? Yesh torach mafsid tor chaso. Is there somebody who toils and then just destroys everything that he worked for? V'yoter tigadel tmiya behagdil erech haoveh v'nifsad v'lami asikach hua yotzer oborei hua bone olamo l'tzorach adam v'yishbarenu b'fesa. I mean, God made the world for humanity. So why would he break that? So who's losing out here? God, exactly. God owns the world, and he's destroying it. He's making it that people die. So before we're told about the death of Adam,
what does it say?
So we've seen this. What is he saying? He's saying that death did not come from God.
It came from Adam.
Who brought mortality to the world? No, Adam brought Adam. Mortality to the world. Okay? Who asovev la'atzmo lemus? Man called himself. He's the one who caused him to die. V'hu omro zeh sefer toldos Adam. And that's why it tells us that this is the story of the generations of man. Perush, meaning, asher olid Adam, that Adam made this happen, b'emtzaus masav, on account of his deeds. He told us, yomar alabanim alamasim kederach umram, zal b'parshas el told us, Noach, that the concept of generations is telling the story of the people who come in the future. B'darash zal, ikar told us shatzadikim mitzvahs masim tovim. What are told us? Told us are good deeds. Hinei shi yomar, that's what we have. Ela told us Yitzchak ben Avraham. Avraham alidus Yitzchak. Okay, well, that's not a whole lot of generations. Mm-hmm. Those are deeds. Okay. Hinesh Yomar al Asher Yase Adam b'Hanagosav. Lashon told us. Gam Kan Yagid told us. Sof Shel Adam ki Menu Yatzu Advarim Hefech Hefes Hashem. It's because of the toldos of man, right, the story of man, that things came out opposite of the way that God intended. When God created them, God said, "You're in Dmus Elohim." And what does it mean to be Dmus Elohim? Then on the day God created man, he made man Bidmus Elohim. I'm just using the translation of God's image. Perush tikno l'chayos tamid. That God made man to live forever, just like God is forever. Al derech amro ani amarti Elohim atem. Achem, I said, you're Elohim. Achem, whatever, what happened? Ki adam tamusun. It's you guys who caused this to happen. Arizem agi ki ba omro Elohim chayim ad olam. We said God is forever. Omro zacharnu ki ba bra'am. And God created man, male and female. Yagid ki ma sh'amar b'dmus Elohim. I said, gam ana ki ba b'gedir. The male and female were both supposed to live forever. God's plan was that they should live forever. But God gave them another dimension, that they are male and female, and they can be fruitful and multiply, they can procreate. And God gave them more, like angels can't procreate. Okay? But God put into the human condition the ability to procreate, so they could live forever and also have children. That they had everything going for them. But it didn't work out that way because of what the Adam did and what the Isha did, as is known from that story. It wasn't God who created death. Man created death. And so that's the idea of what's being said here. Okay? Okay? God called him Adam. And then what happened? It was because of what they did. And by the way, I when I saw that, I was also blown away. You know why? Because there's only one other place in the Torah where somebody is defined as being Asher Chai. You know who that is? Avram. But Avram, when it tells us that Avram died, so the days of Avram's life, Asher Chai, were 175 years. Okay? It says Asher Chai. That's what it says. It's only Adam and only Avram. Okay? What do we know about Avram? Why did Avram die at 175? What's the classic interpretation?
He didn't want to see his grandson go,
right?
Off.
Not that he wanted. I'm saying God took him because God said he shouldn't see Esav going off in a bad direction. How long was he supposed to live there for? 180. So that means that Avram's life was cut short a little bit for other reasons. Okay?
Not his own.
So look here.
Okay.
He called me Adam. Tam shitzuch ha-kosev lo-hodiya prat u'klal shel ha-shanim lo-tzorach v'lo yispik b'prat levad k'seir shlokach ha-kosev b'parshas Noach. It's giving us all the details of the life. L'hu li-yo shechayi kol nevram heim k'suvim v'charutzim yom ha-leida. This is a fascinating idea. Okay? I think only a Kabbalist could say this. It says, everybody who's living, their time is set from the time that they're born. Adam was supposed to live forever, and in that sin, he didn't have a set amount. All the days of Adam that he lived, Adam lived the years that he lived. Asher Chai was 930. Why? Because that's not what he was supposed to live. Okay? It's not the days or the years that were given to him. What was given to him?
Endless.
Forever.
Reality.
Forever. He only lived of that forever. He only lived 930. Everybody else lived what their time was. Asher katzvu lahem. That had been given to them. Etc.
Hesech el lomar vayu kol yimei heim yom maksuv. For everybody else, it says kol yimei. Okay, but here it says. I'm sorry. Here it says vayihiyu kol yimei adam asher chai. Right. Everybody else, it says kol yimei sheis. Vayu kol yimei sheis. Whatever. For Adam, it says asher chai. But everybody else, it does not say v'lo amar asher chai. So everybody else, they lived what they were given. But Adam, and by extension, I'll apply it to Avram as well, only lived that which he lived, and that which was katsuf, that which was designated for him. So again, just fascinating. And of course, it gives us a perspective. Okay, you know, we always think, when we say in Nesana Tokev, who does mi bekitso, mi lo bekitso? I am convinced that mi bekitso, mi lo bekitso is our perspective. When we talk about somebody who dies, you know, sudden, tragic, young, whatever it may be, we think it's, you know, we say untimely, right? Sudden, tragic, but whatever it may be. Because that's our perception, but what do we know? We don't know. We don't know. Okay. What?
The word
Havain. Yeah, exactly right. Good luck. Right? Good luck. Havain. Good luck. Okay, last one. This is also fascinating stuff. Okay, so after going through all of the generations from Adam until Noach, that brings us to Perek Vav. Perek Vav introduces us to Noach again, tells us he had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Yafet, on page 26. So they're becoming many, and they're having daughters. A very strange pasuk, hard to understand. Okay, well, so I'm just going to leave it now, but let's look at pasuk Gimel. Yomer Hashem says, Lo yadon ruchi v'adam le'olam v'shagam hu'basar v'hayu yamav mea v'yashrim shana. Yeah, I thought everybody has their own katsuv time. So what does it mean everybody's going to have 120 years? So one view is that's defining how many years are going to be until the flood. That's why Noah built an ark for 120 years. Another one is that the maximum that people will live eventually will be 120. Obviously it's not right immediately because we have Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov who are living more than that. Okay, different views. But Hashem says, Lo yadun ruchi ba'adam. Look at Art School's translation. Pasuk Gimel, Hashem said, "My spirit shall not contend evermore concerning man, since he is but flesh." Let's take a look. Mikra zet tzarich magid v'rezal darshibo. So we need to explain this pasuk, and the rabbis did. Harbe drushos, many explanations. Aval pshat kasuv lo nodah, but nobody ever explained the pshat. What's the simple understanding? So what's he basically saying? I'm going to take a stab at it. Okay. Benir shichavin lomar lios shaya Hashem is nahegim im bruav. That God, the way that He had intended to deal with His creations was to lochiach, right, to give criticism, and to deal with them on a frontal basis, right? Right, God talks to the nachash, el ha'isha amar, He talks to the woman. This is all in Gan Eden. Ula adam amar. God speaks to all of them. It seems like it's face to face. It seems like a conversation. Vayomer Hashem el Kayin. God talks to Kayin. Vayomer Hashem Ehevel. Yes, Kayin. Where's your brother? Asher igdilu lahasiv. And when they, how would you translate lahasiv? Like, you know, they're pushing buttons. Okay. Amar Hashem. When they're, in other words, they're just getting worse and worse. Amar Hashem lo yadono leolam ruchi ba'adam panim v'panim li shafeti mo yachad. This doesn't work. Because even though I can talk to them direct, they, you know, it's like you think. If there's a voice, anytime I do something, it's sorry. You think you get it eventually, right? They're not getting it. Okay? This is the way it was supposed to be. The human being is not worthy of feeling the Shekhinah so closely. Because they're not paying attention. It's because of the people's deeds that their hadraga, right, their level, lower and lower and lower. At first, God communicated directly, and everybody was like prophets. But when it became that Adam was hechel. What does that mean? Perish nischalel, like from the word chulin. They were profaning. Exactly. Not as a chulin. Huvdal me'adragas navi. They were no longer on the level of navi. Uvehem shechazmana nitzayim niru baretz. Heimat tzadikim shechzira tara liyoshna. Yeah, there were some righteous people who were trying to bring things back. But umishachar v'maon nistam chazon. Eventually, Ruach Kodesh is gone. That's not a typo. We can't even understand the Reach HaKodesh. Okay? Not Ruach Kodesh. It says that's the suffering that we exist. That we can't even smell whatever that reach is to uplift our spirit. The beginning of this curse, we do our mabul. Let's start at the time of the mabul. That's when these psukim are. God gives a reason. Perush b'shvil shahosif lehativ b'tiv musrach b'avona niyuf. What's niyuf? Adultery. Hu basar b'shegem hu basar. His flesh, he has given up his ruchnius. Kamur be'inyan Hashem sone zimo meas midaberilov. God became disgusted and didn't want to communicate to people anymore. Odir tzal derech omram ki atzadigim afchim achomer la'asos otzura. So again, this is getting into Kabbalistic ideas. Okay, quoting Yitzchak Arama, he says the righteous, they turn over the chomer to make things into tzura, into chomer is material, tzura is form. For Hashem, habchim atzura lechomer. The Rishayim undo everything that the tzaddikim do. V'zeu ibudam le'olam, and that's where they get lost forever. Hu omro lo yodon ruchi perish lo yeli ratzonayem le'olam perish matavi aralam afilu olam anitzchi. So he says, my ruach can't stand this anymore. Matamu b'shegem perish b'shvil shegem hu ruchni shabo. Basically, they destroyed their souls because they chose the flesh. They chose the flesh. Okay? Now, so that's the first idea. It says, what is ruchi? It's ruchnius. Okay? But it also comes from the word rachamim, which is mercy. It says God is never going back to the way it was before. God says the fact of the matter is they are basar. Says those people who are basar, there's no mercy that can be had. That's why they're going to be destroyed, and there's no way to go back. So there's more, okay. But in the interest of our hour, I'm going to stop here. But I want to conclude with one thought, and this is a thought that I read in a sermon of Rabbi Lamb. Okay, he says, "What is the difference? Remember, what do we say about Adam? It's the vart that everybody says that Hashem brachos." He says, "Al kein yazov ish esaviv v'sibo v'devak v'shtov v'hayu l'basar echad." Okay, what does the pasuk say regarding the people who died in the mabul? Let's see. No. I'm saying, how are they defined? They're largely described as being basar. Vayima, where is it? Vayima mabul aratz v'yibo ma'visos ativa. Ah, shnayim mikol habasar asher bo ruach hayim. Okay, mikol habasar. Then when it describes the people dying, vayigva kol basar harameis al arts. Okay, everything is considered to be basar. So Rabbi Lamb's point was that before the flood, everybody was called basar. That's how far they had deteriorated. What does the Mishnah say? 10 generations from Adam until Noach, and the only thing that saved humanity was Noach, but everybody else. 10 generations, people deteriorated from Noach until Avram. But Avram, kibel schar kulam, right? And he saved the world. That there, God didn't need to do a mabul kind of thing. And what's the difference between the people in the time of Noach and the people in the time of Avram? How are the people who are living in Avram's time described? V'es ha
nefesh asher asu b'charan, that Avram was able to bring back the concept of nefesh. That's Rabbi Lamb's vort. He quoted somebody else. I don't think it was his vort, but I saw it from him. And so what I think that he's also showing us is how things have deteriorated. This is only Parshas Bereishis, but he's also giving us a hint of what's coming in Parshas Noach. And that is the difference between being a basar, flesh, taiva, you know, the desire of humanity, which brought about the fall of man in different ways, versus what is the goal, to try to get back to that kind of relationship with God and humanity, which, you know, we're nowhere near. But what's the key? Ruchnius. Ruchnius is the key. So these are the hints which he's pulling out of the psukim here from the way that things are described, and it's just a fascinating eye opening idea to the relationship between God and the world, and what God had intended, and how man messed up. Yeah.
No, that's a very important thing to look at the language.
Right.
Because it's not just poetic words.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yes. They have signals.
Yeah. So I mean, if you just scan some of the things which are here, you see the word scharva onesh, you see the words rachamim, you'll see the major points we've already seen. So that's our introduction to the Aruch Chaim, that's our introduction to Bereishis, and Mirtz Hashem, we'll have a wonderful year of learning all this stuff together.
Thank you. Excellent. Thank you.